Brian Wheeler joins us. He is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. How are you, sir?
Great.
I was asking you before we went on there if you've seen any good movies recently. And you said, it was Dan something. And then you said, can I take a lifeline? And I thought you were saying, go look it up on the internet. So I did. And then I turned around and you're on the phone with your wife. Literally. Hey, what was that movie we saw?
I think Gene fell asleep the second time we watched the movie. But my daughter, Abby, really enjoys this movie, Dan in Real Life.
Dan in Real Life. It was funny?
Yeah, it was very funny.
Do you own it? Have you bought it? Did you buy
it? No, it was a Netflix.
Ah, you're a Netflix man.
We are. Just past couple months, we started
really?
Doing it.
Tell me, is it worth it? Is it good?
I like it.
Really?
I was skeptical at first.
Tell me your Netflix story, Brian.
I was skeptical. But then, you know, I went in, I started grading. There was a movie I really wanted. And I went to another retailer whose name I won't mention here in town.
And Hollywood Video.
I went in there, and my son and I were looking for like three different movies. And one of them was like a classic Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Or something
that
like
should
that.
Be on the shelf.
Yeah. And they didn't have any of them. And I was so frustrated, I immediately went to the web, signed up with Netflix.
There you go.
And the movies were in my mailbox in a couple days.
Really? So that's what I don't know. They get there quick?
They do.
Really?
It's amazing.
How do
the
they
turnaround.
Do that?
I don't know. But you send it back, and then you get these email alerts that say, we received such and such a movie. Now we're sending you the next one on your wish list. And the funny thing is—
So the wish list is like you can queue up the next
movie
you want.
Queue up the movies. Okay. And the funny thing is my kids log in and rearrange the queue. So I think all my movies are buried somewhere. That's the only downside. I may have to open up my own account.
That's funny. Well, what your experience in the movie store is often the same experience I will have like in a bookstore. Like I want to go buy such and such a book, and you go to like a Barnes & Noble, for example, and they don't have it. And then you're always like shaking your head saying, I knew I should have just bought it online to begin with.
But you know, back in the day when that used to happen, before the internet and all this stuff, you know, what would you do? You would go to the store and your expectations were different, right? You would say, could you please order such and such a book?
Yeah, and you'd have
to
wait.
You'd wait patiently and then you get the book.
But it's faster to go home and order it yourself.
But now, you know, we expect everything tomorrow.
Well, now we can order it ourselves. It's an additional service from your own home.
We can, but you know, that certainly impacts our local mom-and-pop vendors trying to sell things.
Yeah, I guess. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. Speaking of mom-and-pop vendors, are you going to do another pie journey? Because I remember back in the summer you were saying, we're going to have to do another pie journey this fall so that we can like look for apple pie.
Right. You know, when I spoke to Allie Childs, who baked that peach pie out at Childs Orchard, Orchard, she said, come back in the fall because she'll be cooking apples by fall. So we definitely want to do that. And, you know, the pictures we took on Pi Day are now visible in Google Earth.
Are you serious?
If you go to Google Earth.
How'd you do that?
I submitted them through, there's a photo site, I think it's called, I'm going to mispronounce it, Panoramio, something like that.
Yeah.
If you're in Google Earth, if people are familiar with this program.
Which is amazing.
You have to download Google Earth onto your computer. But once you run it, if you zoom in on a point on the Earth, you can see pictures that people have taken
of that area
in that spot.
Don't they do that on Google Maps as well? You can click like photos when you're looking at a map in Google Maps, and it'll give you photo options for that area.
I haven't tried that.
Yeah.
But I will.
Just like you can click on map or satellite.
Right, right.
You can click on photo as well.
And that must be a new feature.
It'll show you some of the photos. I think it is new. It'll show you some of the
photos
in that area.
You would think the same pictures would be visible through that interface.
Because it is Google.
But you submit them through this partner that Google has, and they sort of check them out, you know, make sure they're appropriate, make sure it's, you know, something substantial that, you know, it's not a picture of you and your buddy, you know, on a street corner.
Yeah.
It's
flicking off the camera or something.
So we took pictures of, you know, historic buildings and places like Howardsville and Nortonsville and Boonesville.
Yeah.
And so if you go to Google Earth and look at any of those little towns in Albemarle County, our pictures are now.
They're Charlottesville Tomorrow pictures by our own Brian Wheeler.
We put
right
them on
there
the
in
map.
Google, Brian.
Put them on the map.
That's amazing. That's pretty amazing, Brian. Congratulations.
So yeah, we should do more of that.
So what do we have to do to get you on another pie journey? Because a lot of folks out there might want to participate.
I think now that people have heard about Pi Day, we need another volley of phone calls to tell us where to go now closer to town. We did the hinterlands of Albemarle County.
Yeah.
We went down to Scottsville.
Nortonsville.
We went over to Howardsville. We came up 29. We went to Crozet, Whitehall, Batesville.
Nortonsville,
Boonsville, Earliesville.
You did the extremities.
We didn't do the east of 29 we didn't get to. So we haven't been out to Keswick yet. We need to get up on Carter's Mountain. We need to go to Chandler's. There's a place, Old Virginia Chicken. What's that place? Is that what it's called?
Down in Fry Spring?
Yeah.
Yeah. They have pie.
They have pie.
Yeah.
So I think we need another round of phone calls to tell us where we should go.
Where should we go? For fall time.
For fall pies.
Autumnal pie.
Yeah.
Autumnal pie day.
Pumpkin, apple. I'm open to all of those things.
All right. Well, if you got an idea, 977-1070. Where is the good pie in Central Virginia this time of year? So it's not summer pie like fruits. It's, I guess apples are fruit now. There's apple pies. Do they make pecan pie in the fall? Is that a fall time pie?
Because that's you can make that anytime.
I like sweet potato pie. That's my favorite.
I'm looking. Oh, here's my pie.
And I'm already getting hungry.
All right, I got my
sweet potato pie.
Here's my pie file. I just want to make sure that because we had callers call in before.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go back through my list here. Okay, we need to go to Chandler's Bakery.
Where's that?
Chandler's near Circuit City.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh,
Albemarle Square.
Great bakery.
Or is that Seminole Square? No, it's Albemarle Square.
Albemarle Square.
Yeah.
Timberlake's on the downtown mall. We had callers tell us to go there. Wayside in Fry Springs, Old Virginia Chicken.
Yeah.
Because there we need the sweet potato pie in Fry Springs.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Fox's Cafe in Belmont. Somebody called in and said we need the chocolate pie there.
Uh-huh.
We need... where else do we need?
You know what?
I think we've been everywhere else, so we need new ideas.
Many moons ago when I worked on the corner, the Virginian made an awesome chocolate pecan pie.
They did.
Have you ever had that?
Oh, yeah. That was really good.
That was incredible. Chocolate pecan pie.
But remember, Coy, we're looking for the homemade.
Yeah, it's got to be homemade.
Has to be homemade.
Can't be shipped in from Joe's Pies in Omaha.
We're on to you if you do that.
Yeah.
And we'll report it.
Caller, what's your first name?
Becky.
Becky, where's the best pie?
Mel's on Main Street has the best sweet potato pie you've ever eaten.
Really? Mel's on Main Street, right across from the train station.
Yes.
Yeah. There used to be a radiator shop back in the day.
Yes.
Mel's on...
Still is in the back.
Mel's on Main Street. It still is in the back, is it? Right across from the train station. Sweet potato pie. Really? I never knew that.
Great tip.
I didn't know
about that. Thank you, Becky.
All right. That's good to know.
Bye-bye.
Becky, rock on. There you go. Thanks, Becky. So sweet potato pie at Mel's on West Main.
I never would have stopped at Mel's.
I never would have driven by and thought, I bet they got pie. I never would have thought that. I would have thought they had sandwiches, but I've never been in there.
Well, and as we found out when we went around the county, a lot of those little country stores do not have pie. They pointed us, to the Little Debbie stand.
Yeah. There's your Little Debbie cakes. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. If you got any ideas for where the best pie is in Central Virginia, we're whipping up another pie day. An autumnal pie day for Charlottesville tomorrow. He's going to get out and about in the countryside and around the city looking for the best fall time pies. And that would be apple and sweet potato and pecan. And what else is made? What else do they make at this time of year?
I'm open to all kinds of pie, of course.
I have no idea. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. Let's go to the phones. Caller, what's your first name?
Barbara.
Hey, Barbara. What do you got?
I am heading home from work. And I just wanted to say, I don't know the people's name, but if you go to the Charlottesville City Market, there are two family-type bakers there that have been there for years, and excellent sweet potato pie and coconut custard pie.
Oh, coconut.
They make them, and you can either get the whole pie, or they make them in little, individual, tartlets, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
A little small, but they are excellent, and they are definitely homemade.
So that's on Saturdays, right?
That's on Saturdays.
Oh.
And that's still going on this time of year?
I have been busy, and I'm not sure, but it may be.
It's probably,
I'm not really sure if it is or not.
We'll check it out.
I think it might be.
It should be, though, because it's sort of harvest time, isn't it? So
it is, and you still have chrysanthemums and flowers and that kind of thing. So
yeah.
I think it's still going on.
Excellent. Thank you, Barbara. Appreciate it. That's a great idea. I wouldn't have thought to go to the farmer's market.
Talk to you later.
All righty. You take care. Have a safe ride home. Let's go to two. Vicky, where are you? We lost Vicky. 977-1070. I got two lines open. If you got some ideas for pie, we'll take a couple more calls. And I'm getting hungry just listening to this stuff.
This is one of the funnest parts of my job, though. I love this.
977-1070. If you got any pie ideas, give us a call. We'll definitely take them. We're talking with Brian Wheeler. We'll be right back.
Last night on the best seat in the house, It was a far different tone after a win.
I'll be honest. I guess I was just looking.
Charlottesville tomorrow. This is Charlottesville right now. News Radio 1070 WINA. I hope you're having a wonderful afternoon, a pleasant ride home. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me. You got any other pie suggestions? Give us a quick call, 977-1070. So you could set this up just basically announcing the day. You want to take a whole bunch of people with you, or you want to just take your crew of Charlottesville Tomorrow people?
I think for this next trip, it just needs to be the Charlottesville Tomorrow crew. But then next year, 2009, I think we should open this up wide.
Rent a bus.
You should be on the bus.
Get a keg.
No, we won't do that.
No.
We'll drink coffee.
Well, it is
coffee
pie.
And pie.
Yeah, and we'll get a bus and we'll go around and we'll do like a big tour and we can talk about the history of the area and stop off at these little places and eat pie.
Think of this as the next phase of our, research and development.
Yes,
of Pie Day. We've done a good part of Albemarle County. Now we need to get the rest of the city, and we'll see where the public wants to send us here.
There you go, Barbara. You with us?
I am. Okay, one more pie idea.
Yeah.
Anytime you see a church bazaar where they're having baked goods,
good
home cooking, and it just came to mind. My church, Belmont Baptist Ladies Group, is having a bazaar this Saturday. This coming Saturday, there will be country ham biscuits and baked goods and all that. So,
were you going to make something?
I don't know. I am not the cook in the family. I have to be honest. So I'm the one out there buying the stuff. So.
Neither am I.
Okay, well, I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you, Barbara.
Well, I appreciate it. That's another great idea. If you can find a good time it so that you can maybe stop by a church that might be having, some kind of fundraiser or something.
That's true.
That sounds like a great idea. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. You can learn more online at sevilletomorrow.org. The very latest today, you're going to hear it right here, water and sewer and transportation. Where should we start?
Well, and if you go to sevilletomorrow.org/pie, you'll get to all the stories about the last Pie Day.
There you go.
And if you're new to the show and pie, you'll understand.
And you're thinking,
where this crazy.
Boy, this here small town radio, turn it on. All they do is talking about pie, little Charlottesville. Yes, we do talk about pie on this program because it's 5:30 and I'm hungry and I want to go home and have dinner. Anyway, where should we start?
Well, I heard you preview the show talking about water, so I think we should start there.
That's right. Hoss Spencer reported today that on The Hook, at readthehook.com, that electronic magnate Bill Crutchfield has sent a second letter regarding the water supply plan to, I believe, to city council. And he calls the water supply plan and the dam our bridge to nowhere and said it needs a more business-like approach. I guess this in reaction to the recent news, the RWSA said it's going to cost a whole lot more than they had thought.
Right.
Many, many more millions.
Well, I've not seen that report, but I know Hoss Spencer's been reporting on what Mr. Crutchfield thinks. I don't know that Mr. Crutchfield has been to any of the meetings related to the water supply plan over the past several years, but certainly, you know, he's a business leader in the community. He's concerned about how we grow and how we take care of infrastructure. So I think the public, you know, values his insights. But that said, what I can report on is the discussions in front of city council, the Board of Supervisors, and the South Fork Stewardship Task Force. That's the dredging task force.
Right, for the South Fork of the Ravana Reservoir.
Right, I call it that just because to connect the dots for folks.
South Fork Reservoir Stewardship Task Force.
But they're looking at more than just dredging. So anyway, last night apparently, and I wasn't there, but our staff were at the city council meeting, and city councilors are starting to raise questions about the water supply plan and needing to look carefully at these options in front of us. At the same time, last week, the Board of Supervisors unanimously gave their support to Tom Frederick and the RWSA and said, carry on. We think you're making smart decisions to pause the project. Not stop it, but in their words, pause it and have this panel of experts come in, assess the research that's been done on the Ragged Mountain Dam proposal, look at the engineering, and provide more feedback. And Frederick said, Tom Frederick, who's executive director of the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority, said he wasn't going to do anything until he reviews the work of that panel. So no decisions are going to be made in the short term to back off or change the plan, really. Last week on the show, somebody, I think it was Betty Mooney, called in and asked me if I knew about the separate cost estimate related to the embankment work on I-64.
Which wasn't included in the new...
Because if you raise the Ragged Mountain Reservoir, it's going to go up against I-64 west of Charlottesville. And Dennis Rooker put Tom Frederick on the spot about that and said, you know, we need to be careful that the cost estimates that are out there are clear and we can compare apples to apples.
Yeah, yeah.
And Frederick's response to that was that there had not been detailed discussions yet with VDOT, but that this panel of experts looking at the dam will also look at the issues around the embankment and figuring out, you know, is what Gannett Fleming said about that embankment work accurate? Are there other ways to do this? So all of this is going to be looked at. Frederick, you know, pointed out that he didn't, I guess I want to make sure I get his words correct here, but he said something to the effect of he didn't mean for any specific cost estimates to be for people to think there was a specific cost estimate yet for this project. It's too early. So the numbers that came out in the press release, it said it's gone up to $70 million. If you added up the numbers in the documentation, it was up around $100 million
yeah.
in what it would cost just for the Ragged Mountain piece.
Doesn't even include the pipeline.
Doesn't include
and
the pipeline.
And it doesn't work without the pipeline.
But anyway, the point he was trying to make is that we have a lot of data collection to do, more information to be gathered, and then we'll know more. So yeah. Board of Supervisors seems to be taking a strong stance in support of that effort right now. And I guess I would say City Council is more in the mode of asking questions at this point.
Yeah, not as go, I guess, as the county is. It's very interesting. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. The phone lines are always open for you, 977-1070. Let's go to line one. Betty's on the line. Betty, go right ahead. You're on with Brian.
Yeah, hi. I was at the meeting last night with City Council. And I think what I heard them say is that they don't want to go forward with just the study that the RWSA is looking at the dam. I think they clearly said last night, and they told the city manager, that they want to look at all the Gannett Fleming options. And those options include dredging. They include looking at the pipeline costs. They include looking at a lower dam. That they want to expand this panel of experts and not just look at the dam. So I think it's going to be interesting at the next RWSA board meeting. I think our city manager and our public works director will be instructed to go forward with a much bigger study than just the dam. So I think that's what we're going to see next month. And I think the mayor and at least four of the city councilors last night clearly want to go in that direction.
So, Betty, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but did you hear them basically say we need to go back to the drawing board on all this?
No, what they said was we need to get firm costs on all the options that were brought up by our consultants, Gannett Fleming. They said they didn't say in their memo to the RWSA board, just look at the dam. They said, you've got to go back and look at the pipeline because you can't build a big dam without the pipeline. So it's silly for you to just look at the dam and not the pipeline. They said you're also going to have to go back and look at your other options, dredging and different size dams and the James River pipeline.
Betty, thank you so much for the call. We're going to take a break for local news and weather and then pick this up right when we get back. We'll talk about Betty's comments with Brian Wheeler. This is Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070 WINA.
Virginia football, discover the power of orange.
Simpson could take it to the house.
Uh-oh, look out. And answer your gardening questions. The Snow Nose Gardening Show on AM 1070 WINA.
You're listening to my daddy on News Radio 1070 WINA, Charlottesville. Right now! Right now! Right now! Right now! Right now! Right now!
39 minutes after 5 o'clock, this is Charlottesville. Right now! News Radio 1070 WINA. Thanks for joining me. I hope you're having a great afternoon. Happy Tuesday.
Yeah.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SeavilleTomorrow.org. Did you want to comment on Betty's remarks? She called in just a few minutes ago with some remarks about her take on city council instructing their representatives on the RSWA, the local water board, to take a more aggressive approach about getting some numbers and not just sort of patting them on the back like the county is doing and saying, go forward, go forth, saying, wait a minute, we need real numbers because we want to reexamine stuff here.
Yeah, Betty was obviously at city council meeting last night, and I was not. And I know that it was not on their agenda, but they responded to matters brought up by the public. And so I assume she gave a good report about that discussion. The only thing I can add is from the county side, when that list of other options that Betty referred to from Gannett Fleming's report came up, Tom Frederick, executive director at the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority, said the expert panel would be looking at all those things. So Betty seems to think that the representatives from the city, who are Gary O'Connell and Judy Mueller on the RWSA board, that they might at their next meeting ask for something specific. The other half of the board could very well say, Tom, we agree with you, have the expert panel look at all those things and get back to us. So as Betty said, I think that next meeting will be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. When is that? Is it this week?
I believe that's late October.
Oh, so
it's a Monday late in October.
It's a couple weeks then.
Yeah.
Okay. This is all talking about water supply, but there's also, after you use the water and it goes down the drains, we're having sewage problems as well.
Yeah, and this is getting interesting, Coy. The Albemarle County got an update from both RWSA and the Albemarle County Service Authority on sewer capacity for Albemarle Place. So Albemarle Place is that development up 29 North, starting at the Hydraulic Road intersection. It wraps around the Sperry Marine facility in a big U that is the size of two downtown malls. And
new traffic light.
There'll be a new traffic light around the post office.
Yeah,
in that area.
So you'd be able to go from the post office and go across the street into Albemarle Place at a new intersection.
You know, I'd have to go back and look at that. I can't remember if they were that smart about that or not. I just don't remember, Coy. I seem to remember there was something. I looked at that and I thought, well, that's not too smart. But I can't remember what that was. And anyway, yeah, so that development has new developers, a company called Edens and Avant, and they are have a request in front of Albemarle County to, you know, change some of the proffers that they inherited and tweak a few things about the plan. We're going to be doing some reporting on that subject. But anyway, Albemarle Place has been delayed in part because they haven't had sewer capacity.
Yeah.
So they need to connect up to what is known as the Meadow Creek Interceptor. That is the
big underground pipe.
The big underground pipe that RWSA controls.
Yeah.
So they need to connect with the Albemarle County Service Authority to get across 29, hook up to the Meadow Creek Interceptor. That sends all the stuff to the Moores Creek treatment facility.
Sends it to downtown Charlottesville. So
down
it can get
down to Woolen Mills.
Cleaned up and then dumped into the Ravana?
Well,
is that what happens to
that's
it?
That's one way to put it, Coy, yes. But they assure me you can drink the water coming out of that pipe, Coy.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Where's my thermos? That's what I want to do.
No, they have to keep it clean. So actually, Coy, you know, when we talk about the water supply, I'll go back to water.
Yeah.
One of the ideas before the 50-year water supply plan was settled upon was to do a pump back system where after you treat the effluent coming out of the water treatment system, you would pump it back upstream and then drink it.
Well, if they say it's drinkable, there's your water supply.
I just point that out. That some
recycled water.
That's how some communities do it.
Really?
Yep.
Really? And they drink it?
Yeah.
They drink their old toilet water?
That has to meet certain standards, of course, but yes, they do.
Well, who does that?
But this community chose not to do that. And I think that's probably a good thing. So anyway, we're talking about sewer, Albemarle Place.
Albemarle Place needs a bigger sewage, right?
And what Gary Fern reported was that they've been meeting with a developer. They've got a plan to get that pipe across 29 over near the post office, connect up to the Meadow Creek Interceptor. The developer, he said, is going to pay for that. So a lot of people ask, is the developer paying their fair share? And in the case of Albemarle Place, Gary Fern would say they're going to pay for that portion of it. Now, what they're probably not going to pay for is the upgrade to the Meadow Creek Interceptor, which is a major capital project the RWSA is doing. And that one is raising a lot of concerns in the Greenbrier Park area because of the right-of-way and construction easements that RWSA needs to get in there, dig up the old pipe, put in the new, bigger one.
Yeah, which for folks who don't know, that Greenbrier area is a beautiful old neighborhood. I mean, it's sort of hidden. You really got to go looking for it. It's a beautiful old neighborhood of older
homes.
That
is a beautiful stretch right to
in the
walk.
Right in the middle of the city.
Yep, and the Ravanna Trail goes through there. I highly recommend that.
Yeah, it's really nice.
What Tom Frederick said he inherited was easements dating back to the 1950s, and the language in the easement, according to their interpretation, does not allow them to come back and put in something bigger. I guess they could go maintain what they have, maybe replace what they have, but they can't put a bigger pipe in. So now they're having to renegotiate
house by house,
to get permission to upgrade this interceptor.
And this is basically, so I understand what you're saying, Albemarle Place developers will pay to put a huge pipe to connect into this other pipe, but the citizens need to pay to make a new pipe that's going to take that all the way down to downtown to get cleaned up.
I think the ratepayers will pay for that Meadow Creek Interceptor increase, and I hope somebody will correct me if I'm wrong about that, but I don't know of any money from Albemarle Place going towards that project. And the reason is that was approved before the community was really on top of this. With Tom Frederick here and Gary Fern, I mean, in my observations of them, they are insisting that developments like Biscuit Run, Hollymead Town Center, they're all having to sign agreements that say, we will pay for our fair share of the upgrades from here to Moores Creek, you know, whatever it takes.
That our development would necessitate.
Right. We'll pay for that.
Makes all the sense in the world.
Albemarle Place came in under a different standard. So they may only be paying for a shorter portion of it. That said, I think there are also some issues related to wear and tear on this interceptor that it may need replacing anyway. I don't know all the details about that, but I think it's not just capacity, but it's also repairing an existing facility.
Well, the $700 billion question is there money for any of this stuff anyway? I mean, the developers of Albemarle Place may have money to build a little connector pipe, but do we have public money to build a whole new pipe going all the way downtown?
Yes, this project is in the capital plans for the RWSA. So the ratepayers who get public water and sewer will be paying for that.
Yeah, they just don't have permission to put in that big new pipe.
They've got to renegotiate
through all
that.
The people's yards and backyards.
What's happened is, 50 years later, some big trees have grown in that area that people are rather attached to.
Yeah, that's one of the hallmarks of that whole Greenbrier neighborhood are the big trees.
Yep, but people tend to forget. They're looking at this beautiful tree and they forget it's in the right of way for a
poo pipe.
Yes.
Oh man.
But the language, back in the 1950s, they weren't as careful about this as we are today. So that's what Tom Frederick gave the Board of Supervisors an update on last week, and Gary Fern gave his part on Albemarle Place.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. We're going to keep an eye on that.
Brian, we're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow for our Tuesday growth and development discussion down there on the hydraulic. They got that down to one lane while they're doing the work there, creating that whole new interchange, I guess, that's going to be the southern terminus of the, what's that called, the Hillsdale Connector, Hillsdale
right.
Drive, that's going to go take out, already took out one, it's going to take out another movie theater and go there in front of Giant all the way up to
Hillsdale Drive
to Rio.
Connect over to Hydraulic, and that's where the Whole Foods is going to be.
It's supposed to go down there next to the Gold's Gym and the Kmart.
That's right.
Right. So a lot of work going on down there.
But there, I think they're working on stormwater at the moment.
Well, that was my question. What exactly is going on? Because I've had some folks ask me, are they building the Whole Foods now? And I said, no.
They're getting the site ready for that Whole Foods. And one of the key things they have to take care of is the stormwater.
So they're putting more underground pipes.
Yes.
Is that going into the this interceptor we're talking about?
No, I think these are different pipes. I think this is stormwater. See, that's another thing we want to avoid in this community is commingling our stormwater and our sewer water.
Well, that's a problem they got in Lynchburg, right?
Lynchburg does that.
Yeah.
So when your
rainwater goes into your poo water, so you end up cleaning the rainwater when you don't necessarily have to.
Right. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And you don't want the poo overflowing into the James River either. And you particularly don't want to be a community downstream having to then tap in,
Yeah.
These are very complex systems we're talking about.
Well, they involve poo. So.
And now you know why everyone calls when we talk about pie and not poo.
Yeah. SeaVilleTomorrow/poo.
We have not set up that webpage yet, but we should.
All right, where do we go next?
Holy smokes.
You want transportation or
zoning?
Yeah,
real quick on transportation. I know the Eastern Connector is one of your favorite road projects.
Not if they're going to put it into that intersection down there. What a waste of money that would be. Wouldn't it? Don't you think it would be?
The intersection you're talking about is at Route 20 and 250 at Pantosh.
At Pantosh,
right?
Yeah. One of the most congested intersections in this area.
And people have certainly brought that up as a concern. But every path, every alignment of the proposed Eastern Connector, whether you're talking Prophet Road, Polo Grounds Road, or through Penn Park to Darden Tow Park over to 20, all of those would feed cars into that intersection.
Yeah. Where are you going to go? There's a mountain there.
Then you got to start digging tunnels or going through existing neighborhoods.
So basically the Eastern Connector is essentially, let's make it relative, it's basically a southern Polo Grounds road. It's like Polo Grounds in that it's going to connect 20 over to 29, but it's going to be much further south.
The city's view of this was, let's let the county build a road that will keep cars out of the city. And the county's view of this was, we want the city to approve the Meadow Creek Parkway. So they're making studying the Eastern Connector one of the conditions. So we'll study it with the idea that we're going to take congestion off of Free Bridge, which the traffic projections show is going to have a horrible level of service.
Free Bridge.
Right.
Even though they just expanded it, 15 years ago, right. 10 years ago. Yeah.
So the Eastern Connector, it depends who you ask what it's for, but it's sort of an eastern. It was not intended, though, to be really an eastern bypass. It was intended to be more of a local road. And what they found was in the study, which is now complete, the city and county put in $250,000 each. So it was a $500,000 study. And the results of the study, which were just presented to the Board of Supervisors, said the best alignment for alleviating congestion on Free Bridge and Route 250 is to run it from Rio Road through Penn Park to Darden Tow Park to 20. And that would give people a way.
So it doesn't go to 29. It goes to Rio.
It would go to Rio.
So you could be on Rio and go over to 20 without going down to the 250 bypass.
That's correct.
Uh-huh.
So that was the alignment that was recommended by this study committee.
Yeah.
That said, what the county supervisors have done is basically put this on hold. They said, we don't want to kill it. We don't want to erase it from the list. It's going to be on our wish list. But what we have to recognize is, it will not be funded in our lifetimes, as what Dennis Rooker said. Because earlier that day.
What insight.
Earlier
He's
that
exactly
day.
Right. He's exactly
earlier
right.
Earlier that day, Jim Otterbach, who's the Culpeper District Administrator for VDOT, showed up and he said, you know, last year we cut your budget by 40%. This year we're probably going to do the same thing. Another 40%.
Wow.
Might be 30%, might be 40%. It's going to be somewhere in that range. And
so an 80% budget cut in two years.
And what they're looking at then is getting about $2 million a year from the state for all of these road projects.
And one road project might be tens of millions of dollars.
Just about every one of them is tens of millions of dollars.
So that $2 million, that's not going to do anything but buy you another study.
And as you start storing that $2 million, then you've got inflationary cost of doing construction.
We're not building any new roads anytime soon.
So they basically said, let's, you know, truth in advertising, let's just park this thing. Thanks for the recommendation.
You know, they're really, truly, somebody's got to come along or some group has to come along that's going to be so outside of the box. It may be ridiculous at first, but we ain't getting new roads. They're just not going to come. Their money is not there. It won't be there anytime soon, like for decades.
Well, Dennis Rooker was on WINA this morning during Government Day, and he said, you know, it's the state has been the state's responsibility to do roads. Local government is supposed to build and operate schools, and the state is not doing the roads anymore. So what the city and county are trying to cooperate on is that regional transit authority, not just to do more public transit, but to create a vehicle through which they can raise other revenues.
Yeah.
And it would be one penny added to the sales tax is what they're going to propose. So they're trying to get two pieces of legislation into the General Assembly for 2009, one that would let them create a regional transit authority and a second which would authorize them to levy a sales tax in each locality. They would then
city and the county.
So they would separately levy that tax. Whatever they raised through the sales tax in their locality, a funding formula would decide how much of that goes to operate transit, because CTS Charlottesville Transit would be taken over by this RTA. The RTA would run buses.
Regional Transit Authority.
Regional Transit Authority. The RTA would run the buses in an expanded fashion, and then whatever money was left over could be applied to some of these projects, like an Eastern Connector.
So the priority would be public transportation. It's not new taxes to build roads.
It's taxes for transportation at large. So yeah. Transit and bike and pedestrian and roads is how they would frame it. However, the RTA would just be responsible for running the public transit piece.
Yeah. And then the local. Now, so would that have to be approved by a referendum, or could they just say, hey, we're doing
it? It doesn't have to be, but it could be. So it could be approved by referendum. David Slutsky has said he's opposed to a referendum, but if that was the only way he could get this approved,
yeah,
he would support that.
Yeah.
And they're going to meet with the legislators later this month and run this by them. And those folks, Rob Bell, David Toscano, Cree Deeds, they may say, hey, the only way we're going to be able to sell this in Richmond is if you have a voter referendum. I don't know.
Yeah. Last time I remember something like that happening was 97-ish when the county did that new food tax.
Meals tax.
Meals tax. Well, yep. That was a referendum, wasn't it?
And that was approved, yeah.
And it was approved.
Yeah. And before that, it was probably the revenue sharing agreement.
Yeah. So this is not for folks who are just joining us and just moved to this area. This is a very rare thing that you see some type of referendum to raise taxes. At first glance, you think, oh, people would never approve that. But they do.
Well, and the one reason you don't see it here is that the city and county have both been pretty good about doing pay-as-you-go projects. Of course, what that means, on the flip side of that is it means it takes a long time before you can pay as you go.
Yeah.
In some cases.
Yeah, yeah.
But we don't do those general obligation bonds like you see in other communities.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. You can get all the details on these issues online at seavilletomorrow.org. Just check out the news center. Brian, thank you so much.
Thank you, Coy.
Have a great week.